You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
The Holy Spirit sets us apart for the works and purposes of God in the area of sanctification. Learn more about this truth in week 3 of our series, Make Room.
Good evening and welcome. You are joining us in the series, Make Room. And this series actually is all about the Holy Spirit. And when we say make room, this is not by any chance a posture na we accommodate something for what is already there. The same way that we say we are going to make room for dessert simply because we have already taken a lot over dinner. No, by no means is it like that. When we say make room, this is a posture of yielding. We surrender completely to the Holy Spirit so that He can work in our lives. So we have learned throughout the series that we as Christians, if we have been reading the Bible, we are actually called for extraordinary lives. But we cannot do that without an extraordinary power. We need an extraordinary strength, and we can only get that from the Holy Spirit. So, week one, we have learned of the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a what. The Holy Spirit is a who. He is a person. In fact, He is the third person of the Trinity. So the same respect and reverence that we give to the Father and to the Son, the Holy Spirit deserves the same. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. That means we can actually get to know Him and fellowship with Him. And last week, we have actually talked about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When we say outpouring, this actually means that with all the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, the moment that we get saved, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the indwelling presence of God actually came upon us. And there's nothing that we can do, no matter how much we sin, that Holy Spirit can never be taken away from us. There's definitely no return, definitely no exchange. But since we are flawed beings, we continuously sin still. That is why we need a continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need to continuously be encouraged by one another and hear the Word of God daily so that we can fully do the things that we are purposed for. And today, we are going to talk about the sanctification of the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. So what is sanctification? It may seem a big word, right? Sanctification comes from the word sanctify. Sanctification, therefore, is a process of continuous and progressive changing towards purity and total holiness. So this is not a one-time, big-time event in our life. The moment we got saved, we don't automatically become perfect. The goal is purity and holiness in the end, but there is a process, a continuous and progressive process. So as Philadelphia wants to say, trust the process. To be holy is to be set apart, to be cleansed, to be purified, and to be sanctified. And there's no other person that can do that in our lives but the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I know that you're very excited. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 6. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing by faith? Just as Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So just a warning or a disclaimer. Tonight is actually going to be more of a teaching rather than a preaching. But I tell you, this is necessary in order for us to fully understand what the Holy Spirit is really all about. And simply because beliefs drive actions. Our knowledge of God will actually drive our actions. If we do not fully comprehend what God is all about, what His promises are for us, what He has actually prepared for us, I tell you, it is very impossible for us to change. It is very impossible to us to fully grasp why we are actually here in church. We won't have any purpose for the sake of coming here in church. No, there's more to it than that. So it is very important, the things that we're going to learn here tonight. But don't worry, this is going to be a teaching, but I'll do my best to make it fun. Come on now, let's do this. Imagine yourself, you are on a vacation and you are in your room and this is the view from your window. Everything is perfect. You woke up on the right side of the bed. When you woke up, the birds are chirping and it's so relaxing. You are so refreshed. You got your phone, played your favorite praise and worship songs, and you feel so light that morning. Then after a long time, you felt like opening your Bible. It's so dusty and all, but you decided to read it. And suddenly, when you were reading your Bible, the words came jumping out of the pages. And it's like God is totally talking to you directly. And in fact, you were so encouraged that you got your journal and you wrote down the things that you have learned. And you are so pumped up to go out of that room, change the campus, change the world, and all these things. So basically, you are so pumped up. You're so encouraged, right? But now, here you are. You opened the door of your room and took two steps. And then you saw it. The sand was everywhere. And the room was so cluttered, and the night before, you prepared an overnight oats. You went to the refrigerator, so excited to get it, but was nowhere to be found. Your brother, your wife, your roommate, whoever it is, got your oatmeal or your overnight oats. You even checked the chiller, and your hidden chocolate was not also there. So imagine what are you feeling right now. You get so annoyed, you get so enraged, now you are mad. Parang you feel like, ah, EGR! Extra grace required. Lord, I need more of your grace, God. And all you can do is go back to your room and lay down on your bed and shucks, right now you're feeling so defeated. A while ago, you were so encouraged, but as quick as Thanos snapped his finger, now you are in this position that you are so mad, just that quick. And right now you feel so defeated, which brings me to my question. Is it really possible to live a sanctified life? Amidst all the things that's happening around us in a perverted world, in a world that is so into social media and all this stuff, is it actually possible for us to live a sanctified life? Does the Bible even have any answers for the real life problems? This is a real question for real people, right? Then let me propose to you this verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says here, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So the answer is therefore, yes, sanctification is possible. But how? Mav, how is it possible if kato pa lang, a small thing actually changed my perspective of the entire day? How? Understanding the Holy Spirit as one who sets believers apart from the wicked ways of the world, that is what the Holy Spirit does. It sets us apart. Now, it brings us towards the works and purposes of God. Again, we are saved not only for ourselves. We are saved to save others as well. God can actually save everyone at a snap of a finger. But He won't do that because He wants to use you in order to redeem this world. The question is, are you willing to be used? Go on now. In the areas of positional, progressive, and ultimate sanctification, this is our ultimate goal, sanctification. Going back to the verse, Galatians 3, it says here, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" A short background of Galatia. This is actually a map of Galatia. And in this part right here, you can see the arrows actually are the journey of Paul towards planting a church in Galatia. Please do read this. Acts 14 on your Bibles. So from Antioch, he went to Iconium. In Iconium, there is a Colosseum there. And it is where the scholars or the Christians who actually preached the gospel to the unbelievers. And when Paul was there, a lot of people has actually believed the gospel. But the same way, kanina, so fast, the moods were changed. There's also things that happened that caused the people to want to kill him. And Paul knew about this scheme and escaped towards the next city, which is Lystra. In Lystra, this is where Paul actually healed the lame. Since birth, the person cannot walk, but through the miracle, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Paul, he was able to make the lame walk. And because of that miracle, people thought that Paul and Barnabas were actually gods, Greek gods. Like, they thought that Barnabas was Zeus. They thought that Paul was Hermes. And people actually started giving sacrifice to them. What's the common sacrifice during that time? A sack of rice. So, as this was happening, as fast as the moods changed a while ago, people started to want to kill Paul because of the things that he is doing. They wanted to stone Paul to death, and they even thought that Paul was actually dead. They dragged him outside of the city, but no, Paul was actually alive. So what Paul did, he went back to the city and went on to the next place, which is Derbe. But in Derbe, right here, Paul preached the gospel again, and many were saved. And that is the story of how a church in Galatia has been planted. Paul went back to Antioch. And right now, here is where we stand. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. But what's the tone? Galatia. Why is Paul mad? Why is he angry? Because right now, the church in Galatia has been attacked by false gospels. Specifically, in that place are three groups of people. The Jews, who believes in God. Judaizers, they are Pharisees, well-educated people who knew the history of the Bible. And right now, they are actually teaching the church that in order for the Gentiles, which are the outsiders, the unbelievers, in order for them to get saved, they need to be circumcised. They need to obey the Mosaic law. What's the Mosaic law? It's the law of Moses. It's the Ten Commandments plus the commandments given in the first five books of Torah. So continuing in Galatians 3:2, it says here, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" So there's a conflict right here. Law versus faith. Continuing on verse 3, it says, "Are you foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So, it's now flesh versus the Spirit. And if you're going to really think about it, this is the issue of the church that time. Yes, they believe that Jesus saved them or they have already been saved, but they are very siguristas. They want something else to complement or supplement the salvation that they already have. It's something like this. Jesus plus insert something here. Isn't it familiar? If we're going to examine our lives right now, if we're going to examine ourselves, Jesus on the cross told us that it is already finished. But no, as human beings, we always tell, yes, God, we believe in you, but there's nothing wrong if I'm also going to believe in this. If I'm going to be saved here, it's better for me to be reassured by doing something else. For us, in the Philippines, we still believe in saints, right? We want another messenger to be a bridge between us and God. In order for us to be blessed all the more, we have the saints. And we offer sacrifices to them so that they can actually give our petitions to God faster. It's as if God does not hear us every day. God can actually read us and knows everything about us. There's no need for this. Jesus is enough. Another thing is like having feng shui or lucky charms, believing in horoscopes, knowing the constellations and how it would affect your destiny. What? Why is it that we feel so good being in church? Sometimes, we even pray if only we could stay in church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If only it is possible, it would be so good. simply because the people here are so perfect and they're so good. They bless me and I want to bless them back. But I tell you, people here aren't perfect. All of us, in all reality and in all honesty, once we go out of these walls, isn't it that we also do bad things? We still continue to sin? The church is not actually a magical wall where when we go in, we become holy. This is not something like we enter Wakanda. It is not something like that. It doesn't work like that. I tell you, there's no magic. Everywhere you go, God is going to be with you, and with you will be signs and wonders. It's not signs and wonders that we follow, but it's the other way around. Wherever we go as Christians, we have the power to make a change. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. No matter what we do, it is not actually good in the eyes of God. The Bible tells us that the best things that we do or the good things that we do are actually filthy rags in His eyes. But it says here, it is not by works that we have been saved, but according to His own mercy. It's not because who we are, it's because of who He is. By the washing of regeneration, by renewal of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in order for us to continuously live out the life that God wants us to live. We are simply saved because of God's character to do so. It is His very own nature to save. He loves us so much that no matter how sinful we are, He cannot bear but save us. If today you haven't felt being loved, I tell you, God loves you so much. How is the love of God being exemplified in the world? The moment that we got saved, for example, this is right here, justification. This is where we have saved. We have surrendered our lives to God, and we have said yes to the call. And right there and then, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has been upon us. The moment we surrendered our life to Christ, we don't have a participation in that. Our sins have been forgiven, yes, but we did not do anything. Here is a picture of justification. Say, for example, that is our timeline in life, and we are explorers. So, what if in this part of our life, in the third dot, we have been saved right here, right there? Then that is the justification part. Again, you did not do anything to deserve this. You don't have any participation, but nothing can take that salvation away from you. You have been saved. Matthew 26:41 says, Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Haven't all of us experienced this? That sometimes we want to change. We want to really get out of that situation that we are in. And we know it is not honoring to God, but it's very difficult to let go. I don't know what it is for you, but sometimes for me, it has been an honoring relationship to God. And it is hard, I tell you. It was hard. But the Holy Spirit has continuously grieved inside of me that I can't simply contain it in the end. The more I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the more I am compelled to let go of these things. I don't know what it is for you, but we all have that sometimes. The struggle is always real, but I tell you, what's a greater truth? What's a greater reality? It's God. And it is possible for us. And this right now, we need to experience this. This is the sanctification. Now, the sanctification is our daily tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. In this process, we have a participation. We need to fight as well. It may be difficult, but we need to have that willingness to fight in order for us to win the battles. We cannot always rely on the Holy Spirit. I mean, He is so powerful, but He wants us to join the battle with Him. It's not enough for us to think that, shucks, there's that temptation again. I'm gonna fail once I go there. And there's a difference between you going there and actually fighting and winning the battle with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to fight. There are two reasons why we are always defeated. One, it may be that we do not actually participate into the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit. We are not willing to actually change. We just said yes because you were pressured by your seatmate then. But we are not actually willing to change. You are not willing to let go of that one thing that God wants you to let go in order for you to experience breakthroughs. Second is, you have not been truly saved. Sanctification is right here. It's gonna be the entire lifetime that we are going to have. Sanctification is a daily improvement of ourselves, daily calling on to the Holy Spirit and daily winning battles, small battles. If you're a Christian and you have the same struggle as you had 5 years ago, then there is something wrong. Yes, we will never be perfect, but let's not make that as an excuse to not actually try to change ourselves. We need to have a participation in the sanctification process of the Holy Spirit. This right here is a sanctification. Let me show you demonstration. Matt, can I invite you here on stage? So, I have right here a hot glass of water. And don't know the brand. This is the best coffee in town. Say, for example, we are the water. So, this is the Holy Spirit. So, the moment that we got saved, the moment we surrendered our life to Christ, this is what happens. We have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Describe to us the taste. Water.
Kape.
But it's lasaw.
Lasaw.
Yes, it is. Cooperate with me. Sige. So, that is an example of us actually being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but not actually tapping on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need steering. We need to steer the Holy Spirit in us. Diba, we have sung it a while ago. Steer us up, pour us out. Perfect coffee, best coffee in town. It's the same as like that, guys. We are like that sometimes. We don't realize the potential of the power of the Holy Spirit that is already in us. We don't even know that the Holy Spirit has always been there. But now I tell you, the Holy Spirit is in you right now. But it takes for you the courage and the willingness to stir up the Holy Spirit in you in order for you to be victorious in every battle of your life. So if you want to experience breakthrough, you want to actually change your life, then this is a good way to go. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And we all are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It should be as Christians, during the sanctification process, we will be from glory to glory to glory, up until the goal, which is glorification. The glorification is a process by which we are now perfectly, completely perfect beings. We are now like Christ, and this will only happen in the second coming of Christ. But we need to work our way towards that goal. The moment we backslide, we need to realize that the goal is there, glorification. So at the end of our life, we need to be glorified. It should be our desire to hear the sweet words of Christ saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because at the end, this is the promise of God. The moment when we are glorified, there will be no pain, no shame, no sin, no temptation, no more anger. We are going to be perfect. There's even going to be a perfect environment for all of us. That we don't need to compete against one another, but we are going to work hand in hand, worshiping God together. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." Our ultimate goal is Christ-likeness. That should be our goal. Our goal should not be to only hear the preaching every Sunday or to be with friends, to enjoy the best in life, to be successful. All of these things are actually good. But I tell you, this should be our ultimate goal in life, to be Christ-like. Question again, is it really possible to live a sanctified life? The question is yes. Application. How do we do it? Mav, if I am this person that up until now, I have been Christian for the longest time, I have been a Christian for 10 years, but still, I experience these anger issues. Every time I see this person, I am just so enraged with the person. My husband, my wife, there's no spark anymore in our relationship. Is it still possible to live a sanctified life? In our house, in our home, you cannot even see a picture of a good family. We are broken, and I feel like I am hopeless in my life. Or, I have this poverty mentality right now that I will never succeed in life. I'll just stop. I'm so tired of trying and trying and trying. But still, there's no breakthrough. Whatever issue you have right now, it is possible to be victorious. Because as Christ has said, it is finished. Application part. Truth, repentance, faith. Truth. We have right here the truth. Every word, every sentence, every page of this book is the truth that has been presented by God. For every issue that you have in life, all you need to do is search. It is all in here. It is the truth. As we continue to read it daily, we deposit the truth in our hearts. And the work of the Holy Spirit, as we continuously partner with Him, is to remind us of those truths. Every time we sway towards the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit reminds us, you need to go here. But we cannot be reminded of something that we do not know. So I challenge everyone here tonight. Let's all read our Bibles. It has been here all the time. In the Old Testament, it has been a struggle for them asking for the truth from God because there's no Bible during that time. But we have been so blessed today that it has all been written here. Repentance. The moment that we are reminded by the Holy Spirit of the things that we are doing wrong, there's a simple application to that. We simply need to repent. We don't need to feel ashamed, to feel guilty, because condemnation has never been from God. He has forgiven you. 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, He has forgiven your past, your current, and your future sins. That's how much He loves you. And He is so powerful that it was enough for Him to die only once. How dare us question if the moment we sin again, Lord, I feel so guilty. I am not worthy. What? It's always I. That's selfishness and pride right there. We need to believe in the power of Christ that has been paid for on the cross, and the power of the Holy Spirit to become victorious in our lives. And lastly, we need to have faith. It's only by faith that we can be saved. It will never be by works. Yes, we have been saved into works in order for us to show the world how much God has blessed us, but it is not those works that will bring us into salvation. We need to have faith that everything has been paid for already. So church, I appeal to you, let's all read our Bibles. Let's all repent of all the sins that we have right now. And let's all have faith that together, we can be in the promised land that God has given unto us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.